some 2,000 years ago, God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure, oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. Though I've never seen his face, and I've never shook his hand, I know that one day soon I'll enter his domain. Oh, to thank him face to face, just to see the God of grace, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song, oh yes, a song, for he took me as I was, oh praise his name. Why he loves me, oh so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, yes, a song, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name.
And thank you, Jesus, that we could praise his name. This here is the Truth of the Matter on the Six Eyes Radio Network, brought to you every Thursday night at 9 p.m. For those, we want to say thank you, especially to our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far. Welcome, 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 as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, and any of those good things, as we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house with us again here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And Sister Ruth, who do we have with us tonight in the house with us with Dr. Quick?
Well, we always got that Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We're always glad to have them all the time. And we have you, Brother Quick, and me.
Well, 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 not to mention all those listeners in all our surrounding city and states, etc. So,
amen.
Well, we know that, of course, Brother George, him in spirit, he would be still praying for our military, our police forces, and, of course, our country to get right with God, as well as all these other countries, their leaders, to be getting right with God, so that this world would be a little better place. We still want to pray for those in nursing homes and hospitals, and, of course, those who work there. We want to keep those in prayer, our first responders. So we want to do that. Pray for Sister Emily with an unspoken. She's got a friend named Gail who needs a prayer for unspoken. A guy named Austin, unspoken. So we got those to be praying for. Of course, for the Six Eyes Radio Network team, name by name, home by home. And, I mean, there's a lot of names there, so we'll just say the Six Eyes Radio Network team. And, of course, for Dr. Doug Quick here tonight, for clarity of mind, clarity of thought, clarity of speech tonight with his message, and for Brother Quick and his wife. Sister Ruth, what do you got for us?
Yeah, and Emily had another secret request. It's from another friend. I'm not supposed to say anything about that one, so I'll leave it. I'm praying for lost souls and praising the Lord for that I'm still doing well, but I'm having a little issue with something else, leg cramps occasionally and stuff like that, so I'm going to have to see another doctor for my knees. So it's just like, and when you get old, you have these unusual issues, so you just praise the Lord and go on and have fun.
Amen. All right. Well, since we have no one else, we're going to turn it over to Brother Quick for any prayer requests he and his wife have, and then we'll let him open us in prayer and get us right into our message tonight.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. we still have our special unspoken request that we're bringing to the Lord, and we're glad for our prayer support on this, because I can't say anything yet, but I believe that the Lord is doing something. And so just keep right on praying with us, if you would, please, and we'll sure enough thank you for that. And Miss Quick is doing very good. Somebody stopped her in the Walmarts as we was walking earlier, and they said something about, boy, you sure getting around real good. And that just kind of floors her, you know, because she would rather say, well, I'm just barely crawling, you know, something like that. But she is getting a whole lot better with her walking, and she's getting more strong, more strength in her legs. Isn't that right, Miss Quick?
Amen.
Well, she got a real quiet amen on that. But she,
amen.
The Lord has been real good to her and to me. We've been married. It'll be 57 years. And mark this date down now so you don't forget it, okay? 57 years of marriage, October the 8th. And I always tell everybody it'd be 57 years, but we're headed for 60. And my wife called me off to the side one time, and she says, how can you get 3 extra years out of that? We're not to 60 yet. And I said, well, we're heading that direction, and that's all I can say. We're just heading in that direction. That's where I'm planning to get there. Amen. And when we get to 60, then I'll just say, well, we've been married 60, headed for 65. You know, just keep right on a going much of what we can. Amen. Both
Lord
of us
willing.
Yeah, both of us have slowed down some, and we both know that, but we don't like to talk about how slow either one of us is going. She'd rather get on me and say, come on now, you've done this before, you can do it again, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I guess maybe all husbands and wives have been married as long as what we have. I guess maybe that's what you have to put up with sometimes. But anyhow, we're just glad to be able to be back with you again this night. And we'll ask the Lord to open us up in prayer and help us as we do open us up in prayer, okay? Our Father,
excuse
thank
me a moment.
You.
We have Emily here before you guys start.
Okay. Bring Miss Emily
All right,
home.
Emily, what do you got for us in the way of prayer requests, prayer praises?
Brother Quick, I'm just asking you guys to be keeping me in prayer this coming week. I've got to have a procedure to have a growth taken off my spine.
What day are they going to do that, sis?
on Tuesday of this coming week.
Okay, and that would be?
The first.
Be the 1st of August, is that going to be it?
That's my birthday.
That's
in
my wife's birthday.
In the evening, about 5 o'clock, I got to be at Geneva Medical to have that done. But what I don't understand, they're doing it outpatient.
Well, just be careful. And don't think you can overdo it, even because it's going to be an outpatient, because even outpatient stuff causes for us to go home and do some resting, that's for sure. I've been through all that kind of stuff, so we'll be remembering you in prayer for sure, Miss Emily.
Be keeping my children in prayer, my mother, all people in nursing homes, their staff, and the hospital and first responders, and as dear brother George used to say, all of our military personnel, and
right.
For you and Sister Quick and Pastor and Sister Bonnet and the entire crew at Six Eyes. And with that, I'm complete.
All right, good. Well, then let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this time together again. Thank you for Miss Emily bringing in these late requests, but we're glad that she brought them in. And Lord, I'm asking on the 1st of August, when she has this growth taken off from her spine, I would plead with you that you just keep your hand upon the doctors and help them to understand. They've got to understand everything that they're doing, that's for sure. That's what every medical doctor is supposed to be able to do. And so we're just asking you just keep your hand upon Miss Emily and help her to remember that she can't just up and run, because she's going to have to go home and take some rest, that's for sure. And then for our military and for our policemen, our nursing homes, first responders, as George used to quite often bring to everybody's attention, and we're just asking for your sweet will to be there and for our nation, Lord. Our nation is not drifting away from you. Our nation is running as fast as and hard as what they can to get away from you. We would plead with you for the that you'd be here to strengthen each one of us, and that you bring a spirit of revival to different churches here and there all across this great nation. And when you start that, we know that you'll be finishing up with a great revival call. So we're just pleading with you for that. Now, Lord, for these requests that Miss Emily had, other than what she just gave, we're asking you just minister unto each one of them and help her to understand that she knows you, you know her, and there is a job for each one of us to do, and you know that, and we know that, and so we're just pleading with you that you just strengthen each one of us in that which you've given us to do. Be with us this night now. Help me as I bring this message to those that will be listening. I'm asking for sinners that do not know Christ, that this would be the very night that they would trust Christ, be their Lord and Savior. And just watch over us now, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to go back to the book of Genesis. That's where we've been several different weeks, I guess. Genesis chapter 2 is where we will begin our looking at tonight. But what I want to do, I want to bring this title, if I can, My Lord, the Sacrifice, and then I want to compare two different trees. And so just help me as I bring this message. I'm asking you just pray for me as I do this, and I appreciate you very much for that. Both of these trees were planted in a garden. Different gardens, but they were planted in a garden. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8, we read this. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. We read about another garden in the Gospel of John, chapter number 19, and we read these words. Now, in the place where he was crucified was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. So in both of these situations, we're finding a tree. In Genesis, in John chapter number 19, we're finding that there is a garden there, and there's going to be a tree that's going to be put in that garden. We'll see that directly. Both the first Adam, which would be Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the second Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, they both died in a garden. The second Adam came back to life in a garden. Listen to this now. Showing us that God was well satisfied with that sacrifice that had been made for sinful man. Now, I want you to understand where these two trees were located. The first tree we find in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now that's the first tree. The second tree we find in John chapter number 19. Listen to these words. John 19 and verse number 18 says, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side and Jesus in the midst. Now we're seeing another tree here. That tree that we're seeing here is the tree that they crucified the Lord Jesus on. It was no longer growing in the ground, but there had been a hole dug as to where they could drop it into the ground. And that's how they did all of those crucifixions. And so we're finding here the location of both of these trees. The one was just outside of the Garden of Eden, as we read. The other was found in the very place where the Lord Jesus had been crucified. Now, in the Garden of Adam, which would be humanity, that's where you and I come from, is found death. Let me call this to all of our attention, please. Death was an unheard of thing, had never ever happened anywhere to anyone until Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, the garden that they saw this tree, that's the garden they ate of this tree, that's the garden where they died of this tree. But you see, in Eden, it is clear that Adam and Eve learned this truth, but they learned also the wickedness of sin and how it must have felt. No man had ever had to experience sin before this time. No man had ever known what sin was. No man had ever experienced what Adam and Eve are experiencing in this garden. They learned real shame when they saw each other's nakedness. And when they saw each other's nakedness, they were literally seeing each other's wickedness and their sin. They'd been naked all of their days. They'd never been bothered by that. But we read in the gospel, in the book of Genesis, how it was that they suddenly realized that they were naked. And, you know, there's different things that they did, of course. It's just like every day in our life now. Whenever a man considers the fact that he's been a bad sinner. Very few of us have ever considered that, but there is a man here and there that knows that he's sinned a good bit, and he doesn't go to the Lord God to see about getting something for that sin. He tries his best to cover it. Every day of every life, there is a covering that takes place for the sin that's in that life. Now listen, there is no such thing as covering over a sin. And Adam and Eve are about to find this out. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7, listen to the first part of verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You see, there's a two-part to that verse. I read it all together. Let me just explain it to you a little bit. In the first part, they learned about their nakedness. They were ashamed of that. And they were so ashamed that they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Isn't that amazing? The first man, the first woman, is going to take up covering their sin the best that they know how. They're going to take these leaves and they're going to sew them together, and they're going to make themselves aprons to cover their nakedness, to cover their wickedness. Well, that didn't work too awful long. They learned of the separation from God, the sin that they had been a partaker of. And when they learned about this, they didn't run to God. They ran away from God. Verse number 8 of chapter number 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. Isn't that amazing? They thought they could hide themselves. Well, you know, mankind is doing the same thing yet to this day. He thinks he can hide himself. Amen. He thinks he can just look a little bit better than someone else around him. Amen. I've pastored for a good number of years. And one day I was out knocking on doors, inviting people to come to the church house. And I knocked on this certain door, and this gentleman came to the door, and he says, "Who are you?" And I told him who I was, and I told him what I was doing. Told him I was out knocking on doors, inviting people to come to the church house. And he said, "Hold on. Isn't so-and-so," and he called this gentleman by his name. He says, "Isn't he a member of your church?" I said, "Yes, he is." Well, he says, "Don't bother trying to get me over there." He says, "I live a better life than what he does, and I don't even go to church." He says, "That's all I need to say to you." And he slammed the door in my face. Isn't that amazing? He was just busy covering up his own sin. Amen. Well, you see, they learned about the separation of God when they ran from his presence. Oh, listen. There's no such thing as running from God's presence. God, forever God. God is a here God, there God, everywhere God. God cannot be hid. God will not hide himself, and no man can hide himself from God. That is a very simple fact. I'm telling you the truth. Man is still doing these same things, trying to stay away from God yet to this day. But you see, at Calvary, it is clearly seen, this knowledge of good and evil. There's no other place to learn so clearly the awfulness of sin and the wickedness of sin than to look at the cross of Calvary. You see, Jesus was put on that cross by false accusers. Listen to this now. Accusers nailed Jesus to the cross. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. You see, they couldn't put him to death by anybody telling the truth on him, because Jesus had never broken any law. He had never sinned the first time. And so they're going to try and find some false witnesses so that they can kill Jesus, and they're going to nail him to the cross of Calvary. And I'll look more at that this next week. But you see, the Lamb of God is going to be crucified, and he was beaten beyond the recognition of any man, Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14 says these words. Listen to them. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. No man since Jesus, no man before Jesus, had been beaten as bad as what Jesus was. He looked like a piece of raw meat hanging on that cross. He had been beaten to such an extent. Well, listen to me now. There was a reason for that. There was a reason for that. I'm telling you the truth. You see, Jesus was beaten beyond the recognition of any man. But look at the goodness seen here. Look at the Lamb of God paying the sin debt of man. He hung on Calvary's tree paying my sin debt. He hung on Calvary's tree paying your sin debt. Oh, listen to me. It is that place where every sinner can repent. Every sinner can trust Jesus to save their unworthy soul. Every sinner can understand a whole lot more about the holiness of God than what they have ever known before. But it's all because of this second tree. This second tree has a whole lot of things about it that we won't even have time to even look at this night. But this second tree has so much for you and me to learn from. Oh, listen to me now. Listen to me. We see the holiness of God as Jesus hung there on that cross. We see the holiness of God, for God's only begotten Son was there paying for the sin debt of mankind. He paid my sin debt. He paid your sin debt. He paid the sin debt for every man that has ever lived. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. There is something real about the Lord Jesus. There sure is. There's something very real about him. We see in this place the matchless grace of God unveiled before mankind. We see in this place Christ being more concerned for a sinner than over his own suffering. Listen to these words in Luke chapter 23. And he said, one of those thieves that was hanging on the cross beside Jesus, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Woo, hallelujah. You see, this sinner is home with the Lord today. Amen. This sinner realized what it was like to have to repent unto the Lord Jesus. You see, there was two thieves that was hanging there, one on this side of Jesus, the other on the other side of Jesus. And the one on the other side of Jesus got going just as much as what the scribes and Pharisees were. He said, hold on here. If you're the king of the Jews, you haven't done anything wrong, then get yourself off here and get me off of here too. But this other thief that just had a conversation with Jesus looked at him and said, hold on, son. You and I are here to pay for the sin that we have committed. But that man there in the middle did not commit any sin because he is the Son of God. He didn't commit any sin. He's hanging there in your place and in my place to pay your sin debt and my sin debt. And then he looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me will not come us into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen and amen. Oh, listen to me now. Listen to me. Jesus had been beaten more than any man. Let me quote that verse of scripture to you one more time. Isaiah 52:14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Oh, listen to me. Look at the goodness seen here. The Lamb of God. I call him the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus, he is the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lamb of God. Paying my sin debt. Paying your sin debt. Paying every other man's sin debt. There is no reason at all for any sinner to die and go to a devil's hell. There's a whole bunch of them going that way. You know why? Because they will not surrender to the calling of the Lord Jesus. They will not trust the Lord. They will not repent of the sin that they know that they're guilty of. They won't do it. All they can say is, well, I ain't sinned all that much. One little sin will cause for a man to go to hell. Amen. One little sin. But you see, the Lamb of God was paying my sin debt, paying your sin debt. It's that very place where every sinner can repent. Every sinner can come and trust Jesus Christ to save their soul. Every sinner can know what it means to go to heaven when they die. Oh, yeah, this body that we live in, it's going to die. But my soul, my spirit, is going to live forever. My soul and my spirit will never, ever die because I have trusted Christ to save my soul. And I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact that I'm saved. I know for a fact that I'm born again. I know for a fact that I'm on my way to heaven. And if you don't know that for a fact yourself, you need to stop and listen, and you need to stop and consider your own soul, your own self. You need to stop and consider the fact that you need to repent of your sin. You need to trust Christ to come and save your soul. You need to do that. I can't do that for you. I cannot do that for you. My daddy would tell me, son, I can't get saved for you. And I will have to say back to him, I know that, Dad. But I wasn't ready to repent of my sin until July the 22nd of that same year. My daddy had just taken his first pastorate. He just had had a man in, an evangelist in, to preach a week-long revival. And I had been under Holy Ghost conviction anyhow. And finally that Friday night, I raised my hand and I put it right back down. I was hoping nobody had seen me. But old Brother Smith had seen me, my hand go up. And he mentioned to my daddy. And my daddy came to me after we got home from church that night. And he said, son, you got a problem. Jesus can take care of your problem. I said, I know that, Dad. He said, Jesus can do it. I can't get saved for you. You can only get saved for yourself. I said, I know that, Daddy. He said, how about let you do it right now? And I said, let's do it. And my daddy introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have never gotten over that. Amen. Oh, I've been a born-again child of God ever since then. Amen. Oh, listen to me. The Lamb of God paid my sin debt. He paid your sin debt when he was hanging on that Calvary's tree. We see the holiness of God, for God's only begotten Son came and died to pay the sin debt of every sinner, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is a sinner. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. All means Adam and Eve and all of their youngins. All means all. Yes, indeed. All means all. It meant all when I trusted Christ too. But you see, we see in this place the matchless grace of the Lord God himself. As he unveils it before mankind, Jesus hung on that tree, paying the sin debt of every sinner. He didn't just hang there just because he didn't have anything else to do. He hung there because it was the Father's will for him to go and pay the sin debt of every sinner. It was the Father's plan. Amen. You see, what Eve saw in that first garden tree is also seen in that second garden tree. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6, listen to this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and they both knew they were doing wrong, because they both knew what God had warned them about in verse 17 of chapter 2. Listen to this. I'm going to read it to you. Chapter 2 of verse 17 of the book of Genesis. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And surely they died. No, physically they lived on for several hundred years, but spiritually they died. They died. God promised them they're going to die, and they died. That's all there was to it. God said, you're going to die if you eat of it. And they ate of it, and they died. Amen. What Eve saw in that first tree can also be seen true in that second tree. That second tree, that tree of such blood, such suffering. Listen to me now. There is something really good about that tree. And Eve saw the tree, that it was good for food. It was pleasant to her eyes. It was wisdom to be found in it. And those things are very true about the cross of Calvary also. Listen to me now. That second garden tree, listen to me. Let me tell you about it. Everything about the second tree is hideous. It's repellent. It is just almost somebody sick if they just listen to what's going on there. The suffering of a human being. But this was not just the suffering of a human being. This is the suffering of the divine God himself. Oh, only the second tree, this tree of such suffering, only there can life be found. Everlasting life. Life that will never come to an end. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have never trusted Christ to save your soul, I'm glad that you're listening to me tonight, because if you listen to me, the Spirit of God is going to be speaking to your heart also. And when you hear me, you're going to hear him speaking to you also. You see, John chapter 3 and verse 16 says these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only place you're going to find everlasting life. It's when you come and you bow yourself before God himself, you plead with him to forgive you of your sin, you plead with Jesus to come by and save your soul. That's the only place that you're going to find everlasting life. That's the only place. You can't find it anywhere else. But you see, that's what I'm trying to preach to you tonight about. I'm trying to preach to you tonight on my Lord, the sacrifice, two trees compared, one beside the other. Now, it is that there is so many likenesses, and yet there is nothing at all that really likens any man's heart like the likeness of that second tree, the likeness of that second tree that's all covered with blood. It's all covered with pain, such agony. It's all covered with that. But it was the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, hanging on that cross, paying for your sin debt, paying for my sin debt. He paid our sin debt in full. We don't have to worry about trying to get saved a time or two more. Get saved one time. Listen to me. You trust Christ to save your soul one time. That's all it takes, one time. One time. And you'll understand a whole lot more about the peace of God after you trust to save your soul one time. That's all it takes, one time. One time. And the peace of God will flood your soul like never before. And you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Nobody has to come along and say, I think you must have got saved. It'll be you that'll stand up and say, don't tell me what you think. Let me tell you what I know. I know that God saved my soul. That's exactly how it is when we begin to witness to those that have never trusted Christ to save their soul yet. That's exactly how we do it. We just say, let me tell you what I know. I know that Jesus hung on that cross to pay every man's sin debt. Every man's sin debt, Jesus paid. He paid it in full. We don't have to try and think we got to pay for that thing in 1 month here, 2 months there, or anything like that. No, paid our sin debt in full. I know that I'm going to heaven in full. I know that God come by and saved my soul, and he's given me such peace in my heart, and it's still there. Amen and amen. Our Father, thank you for these moments together. I would plead with you that you would meet the need of every sinner that's heard me speak these words. I would plead with you, Lord, that you would save every sinner. Help every sinner to know there's salvation there waiting for them. They need to repent of their sin. They need to cry out for Jesus to come by and save their soul. And nobody will have to say that anything happened to them. They'll know for sure. They'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have come by and saved their soul. Oh, dear Lord, that's how it was with me. That's how it was with my daddy. That's how it was with the Apostle Paul. That's how it was with the Apostle Peter. Every time God comes by, we have known it for sure, for sure, for sure. Oh, Lord, speak to our hearts this night. Thank you for this radio network. I pray for your hand to be upon Brother Six Eye, that you just continue to strengthen him. Be with Brother Ken and his wife, and the staff, that you just strengthen each one of them and help each one of us to understand. You have given each one of us a job to do for you. I would plead with you, you'd help each one of us to be found faithful in doing what you've given us. And we'll sure thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my mailing address, my wife was just going to say something. Was that what you were going to say? Oh, she was just going to say that. My mailing address is 1122, that's 1122 Church Street, and that's Waycross, Georgia, and the name Waycross is spelled capital W-A-Y-C-R-O-S-S, it's all one word, Georgia. Our zip is 31501. And thank God we're right here in the good old United States of America. And those of you that have heard us that are not a part of America, we're glad that you heard us anyway. We don't have anything against you for not being a citizen of America, not at all. We're just glad that you were able to hear us, and we're glad that we had a few moments of your time to give an input of what the Word of God has got to say concerning your soul. So thank you very much for hearing us this night. And Brother Ken, we'll turn it over to you, bud.
All right, and if you wish to contact Brother Quick via email, especially if you're out of the country of the United States and wish to get your message to him a little bit quicker, contact us through email at Feel, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, T-O-U-C-H, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com, Feel and Touch King at gmail.com. In the subject line, write question or comment for Brother Quick, and just write out your message. We will print it out, send it to Brother Quick. That way it'll make it much quicker. And then when he sends any response, if there is one needed, we will put it in a PDF and send it right back to you. Amen. So with that, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the end of the show? And remember, if you just called in, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, join the conversation. We'll know that you want to speak, and we will open your mic.
Okay, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Quick, and a mystery guest. It's 214-484, and I won't give the rest of the
Okay, number. So area code 214, if you wish to speak, just press the number 1, and we'll get you in. You can give your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any comments on the message. But for right now, while you're deciding, Sister Emily, we'll start with you.
Yeah, Kenny.
Okay, you got any questions or comments on the message?
All I got to say is, he's got to quit throwing his bricks way down there. That hurt.
Well, at least no got a good throwing arm. Okay, is that it for you, Em?
Kenny, how was that saying that you always use?
What I use when I'm preaching. I don't sell bricks, but I throw them. Amen.
I'm down here with my neighbor, Dale. She heard this. She's over here snickering.
All right. Well, if she was listening, did she have any questions or comments about the message? No.
She's
no, okay.
She's over there laughing so hard she can't talk.
All right. Well, then, if you guys are complete, we'll move on.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Ruth, did the other caller press the number 1?
No, they hung up.
Okay, they hung up. All right. So it's just us now. Ruth, your turn.
I don't know. I just need a little prayer for something here. I've been having dry eye for quite some time, and Dr. Rockwood told me to get some, like, what do you call them, artificial tears. Well, financially can't get them. So, and it doesn't cover by my insurance because they didn't let me. So all I can do is just keep on wetting them the best I can. and just let the Lord handle it.
Amen. All right. Well, Brother Quick, it was a good message, and I like the comparison there between the two trees there. That was a very good message and something to ponder and think about. And so with that, we're going to let you give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. Next Thursday night, Lord willing, I want to bring a message along with the same lines, with the same title as what I had this week, but I want to add to it
from a different angle,
with different things. But Lord willing, it'll be good, and just you keep us in prayers, and we'll sure appreciate that a whole lot. My wife would just run out to get me a Halls because I'm supposed to have dry eyes, Miss Ruth, and I'm supposed to have eye drops that I'm supposed to put in. My darling wife is right here all the time to say, did you take your dry eye stuff? I can't always keep up with it, you know, I mean, and so.
There's one up there that's empty.
Got one of the things.
Mike Albertson, we need.
Okay. And anyhow, my wife has come back. She says, I can't find the Halls. And I said, well, what about one of them? And I made a little circle. We were somewhere, and there was a whole lot of these little round things. And the fella that was there, he says, make sure you get a couple of them for your wife. And I said, well, I'll get a whole bunch of them for my wife. And I did, and then get home. And now she says, I don't know nothing about them things. She got a whole bunch of them, I'm telling you what. But anyhow, remember Pastor Mike Albertson? He's pastoring the very first work that we planted, I guess maybe in 1975. And that's where Brother George was a member. And Mike is, I haven't talked with him in the last few days, but Mike, I talked to him after the funeral, and Mike told me, he said, Brother Quick, he says, there was more people in here than I have ever seen since I've been here. And he says, there was at least 70 different people here for that. And he began to mention some different names, and I said, Brother Mike, you had the opportunity to preach to a whole lot of people that didn't know Jesus. So I haven't been in touch with him since, but just keep him in your prayers if you would. He's 85 years old, and he's slowing down for sure. But just keep him in your prayers, and I know that he will very much appreciate that. His name is Pastor Mike Albertson. And he's the pastor of the Community Baptist Church in, I think it's in Grant, Michigan. Okay, is there anything else, Brother Ken, before I close in prayer?
No, that'll do.
Okay. Our Father, thank you for these moments together tonight. And I would plead with you, Lord, that you just keep your hand upon us, that you'd be with Brother Albertson, and that you'd strengthen him in a marvelous way. I know that he's running out of steam. I know that. I've known him for a whole lot of years. I'm just asking you just keep your hand upon him. And then, Lord, for those that heard me this night, I would plead with you. You just minister unto their hearts. And those that will hear this message through the week at different times, that you just minister unto them and help each sinner to understand there is rest and there is joy waiting for them at the foot of the cross. So just watch over us now and be with us in a very special way. As you gave the brother six eyes, keep your eye upon him, your hand upon him. And for Brother Ken and Miss Ruth, Miss Emily, and for those other ones, I'm asking you to just keep your hand upon them in a special way. Watch over us, Lord, and we're sure enough, thank you for all that you have done for us and with us and through us. And we'll just ask now that you just keep your hand upon this radio network and continue to bless it, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody, and we just want to invite you tomorrow for the two shows that we have on Station 2. You call in 515-605-9340 at 6 p.m. for My Daddy's Records with Brother Six as he goes through the albums and stuff that his dad raised him up on. And then at 9 p.m. on Station 1 here, 424-243-9617, at 9 p.m. for AJ and the Squad. So join us for both on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless everybody.
God bless.